This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris Yano, the host of To The Point Home Services Podcast. I'm excited for this episode today. You know, a lot of times we have on different owners of different size businesses, and you've listened to the podcast, or I've had some really, really, really big companies on here and listened to their leadership or their owners on their path to build those businesses, and they want to give back and things like that. And so we tried to switch it up a little bit and think, man, what's a different path we can take? Because not everybody listening to this podcast is just an owner of a business. There's lots of different hats you wear when you are an owner, right? Different paths you have to go down. And I always like it whenever I've had a previous guest on and then they get to join me as a co-host. And I actually have that again today, which is super cool because I have my friend Wyatt Hepworth from Any Hour, who is my co-host today. Wyatt, are you ready to be my co-host, man? Like, are you going to be able to match my high yellow purist status of fun?
I am not going to match your fun level, but I will try to hang in there for you. So yeah, I'm excited for this though.
But listen, here's the deal. If you didn't have to come in clean shaven today, and that would have made my heart so happy. But I have Wyatt on as my co-host today too, mainly because we have the COO of Any Hour on today, Jeremy, who I met. Gosh, it's probably been, when was I up there? It's not been a year, right? I guess maybe it has been a year. Now I think about it.
Been a little while.
It was after RhinoX last year, so it had been pretty close to a year or so. But we have Jeremy Hansen on, who's the CEO of NEI Group. But when I met you, man, I was super duper impressed. We sat in your office, and you guys started walking us through like some of the spreadsheets, these air quotes, and the reporting and the things. And like, as many of these as I've sat through in different places I visited and been around so many different owners, it was clearly obvious that you knew what you were doing. You had it together, that it was a pretty tight ship. And even just like some of the metrics that you're using, that, you know, that you guys are using to make decisions and like monitor the day-to-day health of the business, the heartbeat of the business. Like, it was super impressive to see that. And it helped me understand a lot of the backbone of the success that Any Hour has had. So I want to talk about that journey a little bit. So today, my friend, is all about you, because Wyatt and I talked about this before. And not only once, we've actually talked about it multiple times. So thanks for reminding me, Wyatt, that we talked about it again. Is, you know, I'm a big fan of Disney, and clearly so are my kids. And the guy that got the short end of the stick was Roy Disney, right? Like, Walt had the great big vision, the idea, and then Roy come in and actually made it happen, right? Disney World, Disney. So is it fair to say, Jeremy, that you're kind of like the Roy Disney to... to Walt with Wyatt? Is that a pretty fair assumption?
I'm not going to go on record saying I'm really busy.
Point being is, you're such a critical, important part to the growth of Any Hour. And I want to put that out there as if, you know, this was, you know, a Walt Disney type. Like, the story needs to be out there because you're such a critical piece to it. No different than in my business, you guys have met Anna. She is that. She would rather stay behind the scenes. She doesn't want to be out in front of anything. She just wants to kind of do. And so I push her into out of her comfort zone into the light, if you will, because I think she's brilliant and she's very smart and she's done a lot to help our business grow, no different than yourself. So this is my opportunity to kind of put a spotlight on you that you deserve. So that's what I'm trying to accomplish with all this thing, because you've been a part of some really critical years, growth years in the whole Any Hour story. So when you came on, we were talking about this ahead of time too, that it was in 2008, and that's when it was just an electrical company. And it wasn't the Any Hour that we know today. It was a much smaller company. And I've, as many times as I've had been able to have conversations with Wyatt just about the success of Any Hour, I think a lot of times we miss some of the early phases of this year and the importance of those phases of those early years on what was the size of the businesses, because people will say, well, they're so big, I can't relate to Any Hour. Maybe not now. Maybe not now you can't, But I guarantee you in that journey, there's lots of years where you can absolutely relate to any hour. So, and I just want to mention a couple of these things and why it like fill in or either one of you just fill in any gaps. But I mean, 13 years ago, what, 2010, good grief, that was 13 years ago. 1.5 million. In 2011, 2.5. Then the next year, 3.9. Then the next year, 6.3 million. Then the next year, 10.6 million. By the time you hit 2015, now you're 15 million. That's not that long ago. That's not that long ago. It seems like forever ago when I just said 2010, but remember when 2000 came and people didn't know what was actually going to happen in the world? They're like, oh my gosh, 2000, it's going to happen. Now it's 2023, and guess what? A lot of stuff has happened, but part of what happened is you guys built a monster company on the back of just really great servant leadership, great culture, good customer service, good people, great leaders, and Jeremy, you're one of them. So I want to share this story because you've been on a journey with you guys. You've been on this long journey with Wyatt and with the rest of the team. But how did you even get into that spot in the first place? Like, I kind of remember the story a little bit that you guys were telling me on how you even got into it in the first place, but I would like you to share that and then go ahead and actually just share that story on how you even, you like your guys' connection and how you got into Any Hour and then kind of your journey. And then if you would just kind of give me some of those like really good benchmarks along the way for reference on what year that was, if you can remember.
Sounds great. So Wyatt and I are actually brother-in-laws. So we would get together at family events. We married sisters. So Wyatt's married to Samantha, who's my wife's older sister. And we would get together. And at the time, I was running a new construction company down in southern Utah. And Wyatt was running, at this time, a new construction up in northern Utah. He hadn't transitioned into the Any Hour service side of things. It was primarily new construction. They did a little service work here and there, but it wasn't branded Any Hour and moving that direction. And we loved to talk business. We would find ourselves aside, party, and we'd just talk for hours. And we just loved talking business. And at the time, I was going to school and running a business. I was going to school to be a dentist. But I didn't want to go into debt going to school. And so I was running a business and I really ended up loving the business and I love the industry. And so what happened is fast forward through the school years for a while, and I was getting close to going off to dental school. And one of my suppliers who I'd become really good friends with down in Southern Utah, said he wanted to go to lunch. We'd gone to lunch numerous times. We were good friends. He was a little bit older guy at the time for me. I was in my mid-20s. And we went to lunch and he kind of shocked and awed me a little bit. And he says, you don't want to be a dentist. And I was like, are you kidding me? I've been going to school for years for this. What are you talking about? I want to be a dentist.
Pretty cool gig.
And yeah. And I didn't know this about him, but he actually told me, you know what? I used to be a dentist. And what I found is when I left my business, it stopped running. I was the dentist and I had people working for me, but there was no other dentist. And this is how most dentist offices are. And so when you go on vacation, you take a day off, that place shuts down and stops and income stops. And he said, I learned within, you know, about 10 years that that wasn't my calling. And I've started businesses since I left the dental field. And he said, I can tell you really love business. I just don't think that's what you want in your life. Coming from someone who's lived it, I think this is something different. So that kind of opened up my mind. That first time I like to get laser focused and I was just kind of going on one track and I kind of stepped back and look around. And at that same time, Wyatt had invited me to go up to training to Any Hour. Now that Any Hour had started their service side and things were starting to roll. So it was a few years later. And so I went up to Any Hour, sat in a training. He had a Don Jennings, guy that had been doing some trainings in the industry. And he brought in all the employees and I can't remember if there were spouses in there, but it was a really cool experience. I'd heard about the business a lot, but I hadn't really seen the inner workings of it. And it was really interesting. There was some great things going on. People were excited about the future. Wyatt had a great vision about where things were going. And so it really started my mind thinking, and he had kind of left hints that, you know, oh, I wish we could have met before you started your business. You know, this is Wyatt for you.
Yeah, that sounds like Wyatt right there.
And so I kind of had a hint that, you know, that he might be interested in me coming up there and working. And I don't remember. It was over 15 years ago. We had a conversation and somehow you know, I opened the door, let him know that I might be interested and that I might change my path. And Southern Utah, where I lived in Southern Utah, is about 3.5 hours away. And I think we hung up the phone, and I think 3 hours later, he was at my doorstep taking me to dinner, my wife and I, talking about an opportunity to work at Any Hour. You know, I don't know if I was crazy or what, but I think it was pretty quick decided. Yeah, we're going to do this. Sold my business. Obviously didn't go off to dental school, sold my house, moved up to Northern Utah and started. And, you know, at the time I didn't have a title. I didn't even know what I was going to do in the business. You know, my background wasn't electrical. I wasn't a tradesman electrical at the time, but you know, I'm in my 20s. So I guess I'm just a little naive and Wyatt's got this awesome energy and vision of what's going to happen. So I just drop everything, sell everything, move up. And we started that journey. And then within a few years, we became partners in the business. And so we're both owners and we continue to grow the business and transition it. But yeah, that's kind of how it got started.
When did you guys technically become partners? What year was that?
What year was that, Wyatt?
Go ahead.
I believe it was 2011.
Okay. So that was when you guys were sitting at 2.5. I think you finished that year at 2.5 million. So significantly smaller than where you're at today. Okay. So you got sold by Wyatt, which I get because he's got that charisma to him and he's just a kind dude, but he's got a vision and he believes in it. Like it's hard to not believe him. But you got sold to sell, move up with no title. Just, yep, that's just correct. Trust me. We'll figure it out. Trust me. We'll figure it out. That's intriguing to me. I'm that kind of guy that could be talked into that, but Anna would not be talked into that. My wife would not be talked into that. But clearly you bought into the vision, right? And was the vision at that point that Wyatt was painting, is that anywhere near where things are today?
He was painting a pretty big vision, but I think even back then it wasn't quite this big. it was pretty big. You know, but yeah, I obviously the vision has taken a few turns and I think it's turned out greater than all of us were hoping, but yeah, this was a lot of years ago. And at the time we didn't know any companies that were even in the realm of the vision he had. So it was a pretty big vision.
Got it. So, okay. In 2011, you become a partner. And what is your responsibility at that point in time? Like, what is your job?
So at that point I was general manager of the company.
Got it. Okay. So you're the GM and, What other leadership positions is it? Is it basically still you and Wyatt as the key leadership of the business?
Well, when I first came in, as I said, there was no title, and I think I'll speak for Wyatt. He can jump in, but I think he saw maybe some talent, some drive in me, but he didn't really quite even know what I would fit in the business. He just like bring talent in and it'll all wash out. So when I got there, I didn't even know what to do. So I just started answering phones, started dispatching, I started invoicing. I mean, so, you know, early on, I did all the office work, just kind of bouncing around, trying to make an impact, try to help with the business, which was really helpful because it really helped me wrap my mind around what is the processes of this business? What does it look like from top to bottom? And then, you know, I moved from there into managing the office, call center, dispatch, and then eventually managing service. So I was service manager and then sales manager and then general manager. So kind of working up the ranks as a business continued to grow and scale.
Got it. Perfect. So that's where I was hoping you were going to go.
Wyatt, if I'm not telling this right, you jump in because Wyatt and I were talking about this earlier and we love the color code, you know, and in the color code, it says reds live in the future. They're all about, you know, we're working today for tomorrow. Blues live in the past. They really like to reflect and learn and extrapolate what's in the past. Yellows, Chris, they live in the now. It's a great place to live. You know, they call it a present for a reason.
That's right.
It is a present. And white personalities, they've never told us where they live. So we're still trying to figure that one out. But, and so, you know, Wyatt remembers the past more than I do because he reflects on it. And that's a powerful thing to do, but I'm kind of always looking for it. So Wyatt, I'm going to ask him to jump in and fill in details.
Yeah, exactly. And back to that vision, that Jeremy, you mind kind of talking about what that vision was? We're talking about the, if you want to fill that in, because we actually had the new construction still when you came in.
Yeah. And again, you know, this was early on. So Wyatt, you can fill in my memory of some of the visions. We'd have these meetings and I remember at one point it was, you know, early on, it's like 25 million. I don't think that was the end goal, but it was like, we're going to be 25 million in the next while. And we're going to have numerous locations down the I-15 corridor, which is the main freeway system in our area. And I guess, I don't know if I was just gullible or what, but I was just like, yeah, this is happening. We're going to do this. And the others in the business sometime were like, oh, this, you know, why it's a little crazy. And then we would grow. And then they were like, wait a minute, maybe he's not crazy. I don't know. But that's kind of what I remember of it.
Well, so what I like about this, like already is, that you, like we said, hey, yeah, you became the general manager in 2011. But really what I heard you say was you worked your way to that position because you were doing all the different things from answering the phones. Like, so you did learn quite a bit about the business because clearly you already had the entrepreneurial piece to you in the first place because you already had a business. So you had some business savviness already. The fact that you're a red means you like to get from A to B. And which would lead me to believe that you're thinking through like the processes, the way to get there as quickly and efficiently as possible, which is what we, all of us visionaries need, is that person to help us execute on the vision. So this business grows. I mean, Wyatt's got a $25 million vision, you know, somewhere in the future. Now when
10 years,
was it 10 years?
10
so,
years.
Okay. So that 10 years, when you casted that vision for 25 million, the 10 years would put you at what year? Like roughly. Sorry for the interruption. To the point, listeners, have you heard of Rilla? Are you using Rilla yet? If not, are you for Rilla? See what I did there? Rilla is the leading speech analytics software for the trades. It is on a mission to bring physical ride-alongs to an end. You can coach your reps with virtual ride-alongs now. They're 100 times better, faster, and much more efficient than the physical ones. All you got to do is use the Killa. Rilla, that's R-I-L-L-A, Rilla.
Yes, so that vision was in 2008.
Got it. So 2018, you're going to... Gotcha. Okay, cool.
I believe in the book Good to Great, I believe that a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal, needs to be 10 years out. It needs to be out there a ways. If you put it out 2 years, you don't hit it. Everyone's like, I don't know if I want to be. 10 years is far enough you can really figure out, like, how do you get there? And at the time, we were new construction when Jeremy came in. We're straight electrical work. We're growing that service side. And again, Jeremy and I really align. I'm a blue-red. He's a red-blue. And so we actually have a lot of the same strengths and limitations, but we really are different people, right, Jeremy? What's your feel on that, Jeremy?
Yeah, we've talked about this in the past. I think there's a beautiful symmetry, but there's also some strengths, you know, that overlap a little bit and also are opposing, which is great. Wyatt, he does reflect and look at the past more. I think he has a little more visionary naturally to him than I am, but he also is a secondary red. So he's got this operational, you know, outlook, and he likes to think things and dial them down in. And then me being red first, I really lean into the operational. I think that's my biggest strength. And then the secondary blue, I do like visionary and I do like big goals and I like to go after them. And so they just really work together in symmetry and help each other move forward. So.
Got it. So, all right. So I'm going to keep going down this path because then I want to really dig into, and I want the listeners to hear maybe some more of the details of like the day-to-day type things or particular things that levers or whatever things that you're looking at along the way and different phases of the business. So first off, if 2018 was the goal to hit the 25 million, did you hit it?
Jerry?
I'm trying to, again, I don't reflect on the past. I'm trying to think what size we were in 2018. I know we hit it, but
Yes, we went from 1.5 to 2.5 to I think it was 4.1 to 6.3 to 10.6, I believe, to 15, just barely over 15, to barely the next year, barely over 18, and then boom, jumped from 18 to barely over 25. And we did a lot of I think those are pivotal years. If Jeremy could really talk about some of the things he was doing each day through that process, because that was growing 100% organic in a time when people weren't growing like that. I mean, you did have people growing like that, like the Dave Geigers with Horizon. I mean, oh my goodness. And we were showing his video, by the way. We had a little video and we say, look what you could be. And we show this video and then we'd paint the picture of what we thought it was. We'd never been to this place. Still haven't. Would love to get out there. But you know, you weren't seeing that except for with some of the select companies here or there. But and now there's a lot of guys doing that. But back then, there were just very few people doing that back then. So yeah, Jeremy, I think Jeremy was huge into why that happened. I agree with you, Chris. If Jeremy could dive into what that looked like, that'd be awesome.
I think it's important to understand the dynamics and the business. Like we've said numerous times, we were electrical only. I believe even to this day, electrical is further behind in the industry. It's, you know, we did a survey recently in our area and asking customers about, you know, who unaided questions about you have electrical problem, who are you going to call? We hit the top of the marks. We're the biggest brand in the area. But then when the second, if you don't call any, who do you call? It was all these commercial electrical companies. You know, it's just they haven't developed. And there's a reason for that. You know, estimates are we're about $130 billion industry in the U.S., electrical, plumbing, heating, air, residential service. And about 10% of that is what's estimated to be electrical service, about $13 billion. Yeah. So, you know, HVAC and plumbing is a much bigger piece of the pie, and it's been developed and organized, and customers have been ingrained to what to expect. Electrical has been farther behind. So we're working with the smallest piece of the industry. And then our area too in Utah, you know, population-wise, Hall of Utah at this time, I think was, our area was less than 2 million back then, the area we covered. And honestly, it was more like a million, million and a half. We pushed into the north later, which had more population that helped add it. But so we're not dealing with a ton of population. And then Utah has been a very conservative spending state. It's been changing over the years. We've seen a lot of change in the last 5 and 10 years with people are a little less conservative with spending. And, you know, there's a lot of programs where people lean on their neighbors and buddies. And so it was a tough growth spot to be electrical in Utah in that time frame. It is a little different there. But what specifically do we want to dive into? Just some of the metrics of the day-to-day?
Well, I think what I'm thinking is, you know, you started as electrical, and then what was the next trade that you guys brought on?
Well, we didn't know what we were doing. So we're like, we need to get into plumbing and HVAC. So let's just get into plumbing and HVAC. So we started both trades simultaneously.
Okay.
I'm not saying I recommend that. But yes, that's how we did it. We threw out advertising. We just threw on there plumbing and HVAC.
Hold on, Jeremy. I said, how are we going to start heating and air and plumbing? I'm not a heating and air guy or a plumber. And Jeremy's like, well, I'm not even an electrician. I'm helping you run this company. And I was like, you're right. All right. So we just, 2010, we just started advertising. And we didn't have anyone to do the calls. So we made friends we had some friends in the industry because I've been doing work in the area and I know heating and air and plumbing guys. So we just went to them and said, hey, we're going to start the side, but we're going to send our calls to you till we figure this out. And they're like, sounds great to us.
I'm sure it does.
And so that's what we did, right? But I think Jeremy, you got to understand as GM, Jeremy was answering the phone this whole entire time still. He was in the CCR. His office was just right off the CCR room in dispatch. We didn't have a dispatch manager back then. We're starting these new trades up. And Jeremy was just talking to me earlier, and he's like, Wyatt, I had people like Jeremy, you tell it. You were having people like ask what you guys were calling you. Once we started getting heating and air plumbing guys, right, you were like, you were actually answering all their questions over the phone, right? So
little surreal. Yeah. Electricians, plumbers, HVACs call me. What do I do here? And you know, my family is a construction family. So I grew up, you know, being in construction and you sit in a lot of technical training. So I think I understand a lot of the dynamics. And most people, they actually don't need the technical support. They just need the emotional support. Like, what would you do? And so I just ask them enough questions. But yeah, it was kind of an interesting time to be alive. But yeah, we added both trades in 2010 is when we kicked them both off. And why it's right. We started referring some advertising went out a little earlier than we were expecting. So we started referring the calls coming in because we weren't quite ready for them. But then we started getting complaints about the people we were referring by our customers and, you know, they're not taking care of us and we don't, and we're like, oh shoot, we better get this thing going quick. And so we really, you know, got down to it and hired some great people and started getting things moving. So
I'm going to fast forward just a little bit for the sake of time, because I definitely want to hit on some of these, like you said, that's a perfect example of you said, yep, let's do it. Well, you had to get the advertising in by a certain time. So then you had to just figure it out from there. And that is kind of how the journey goes sometimes, right? Like you say yes, and then you figure it out. But people are doing this that are listening right now. Like, and plenty of people, even though they've heard, don't just bring on another service. If you haven't got the one you're doing figured out, well, and people will still do it because an opportunity comes available or a person becomes available who has that other skill set. And then you're like, oh, I want to take advantage of this. So like, it still happens plenty. And what's nice is that if they can start to learn some of the pitfalls or roadblocks that they're going to hit before they get there that you may have experienced. But I want to just, before I get into that, today, any hour is, what's any hour specifically? Not the whole any hour group, but just any hour specifically. What size is any hour today?
Yeah, so we're going to be over 100 million at any hour, or all organic, 100% growth. We're over 100 million. However, as a whole company, we are actually a $400 million business. And Chris, I'd really like, I think there's some real keys here. Back when we were $4 million, Jeremy, I think there were things we were doing that projected us to the $25 million at $4 million and at $2.5 million. Like, for instance, Jeremy, just so you know, so in 2010, Chris, I was still getting rid of new construction. And we're not counting that revenue as part of the size. I was still getting rid of that. Jeremy, by then, he was literally running that business, right, Jeremy? And, yes, we were talking every day. Pretty much every single day, sometimes multiple times a day, he was running things. And I was running out in the field, get wrapping up jobs with our guys. We were the biggest new construction electric company in Utah at one point. We weren't that at that point with that bad economy. But I was still – we cared about those guys. We were trying to pull some of those guys in to save them in our company, like Jesse Wheeler, who's still with us, and Scott T, and Nate Devinish, and Lee Weaker, you know, all these guys – we're trying to save them and not just lay them all off. So I was trying to be methodical and smart about how we ended it with those contractors. We still had contracts. So Jeremy really had the company like on him running it while we're trying to build out that, starting new trades. And it would be really good because I hear people saying, yeah, you guys are 400 million or yeah, you guys are 100 plus million in one location. You don't understand us. Well, shoot, this was 12 years ago, 10, 12 years ago, you guys. So I think it's really huge. Because Jeremy was doing things. We were doing things, but Jeremy in specific was doing things like what Roy Disney did for, look what he built if you go to Disney World. Holy heck. Jeremy, why don't you seriously dive into that? Like, dive, what was your day looking like? What were you doing each day? What were you doing each week? What did that look like? How are you implementing things? Just please go into that.
So I think one of the challenges we have in these businesses is there's lots of shiny objects. And Wyatt and I, we love to go to businesses and pick up nuggets. And we've learned a lot from other great companies and, you know, hope companies have some stuff from us. And so there's great stuff, but there's lots of shiny objects and you go out and you see some new exciting meeting you can do or programming or pay structure you can do. And you want to bring it back and implement it. And then you get down the road 2-3 months, maybe 6 months, and then you see another shiny object. And so I think, you know, one of our greatest successes is consistency. We find something that works, we plug it into the business, and we keep it in the business, you know, like Huddles. We started Huddles many, many years ago. And
14 years ago.
And, you know, and I ran daily Huddles until about a year and a half ago, every day I was in the daily Huddles. That's not always the most exciting thing to do every day. You know, we're running this, you know, big company and I'm in the daily huddles, and we eventually got to where we were doing, you know, we do four of them now. And so I was running multiple huddles a day, diving into them, and then weekly manager meetings every Monday. Again, another thing that we do every, I still run those today. with the executive team. We come in Monday morning, and the first thing we do, well, I get in early enough that that's not my first thing I do. I prep it all. But early on in the morning, we get this 90-minute manager meeting, and we dive into the logistics of the business, numbers from last week, reviews, all the basic stuff. But I think we get too distracted sometimes from some of these shiny objects, and we don't do the stuff that we know works. We've been out to companies where they shared an idea with us. We implemented it. A couple of years later, they came back out to us, and they're like, "That's so cool. I love that you do that." And we're like, "We got that from you." But they had stopped doing it because something else came in the business and was shiny. So, you know, Good to Great has this analogy of the flywheel. We love Good to Great at any hour. But this flywheel is this massive thing that you got to put all this energy in. When you start a business or start a department, you push and you push and you put all your energy into it, and it might just creak and move a little bit. And then too often we abandon it and move on, and there's got to be an easier way. But if you can get that flywheel moving, you got to keep pushing on it every day. And so this business is exciting. It is fun. I love it. But it is stuff you do every single day to keep it going. And you can't get distracted from the things that make it work.
And Chris, so Jeremy was willing to stay back, run the business, do those huddles, do the weekly leadership trainings that he actually still, we have six of those going on per week right now. We started at one. When we went to, I think, two or three or so. Anyway, it's gotten to six now. He still trains leadership five and six every single week. Now, if he's not here, there's someone in line after him, and then Dice, he has a line of people. So that doesn't get canceled, you guys. So like Jeremy, Jeremy doesn't cancel it. He's not canceling the huddle if he's not there. We get huddle notes every single day, so I'm still copied on those notes. Jeremy's still copied on those. We get copied on all that, so we know what's going on. If someone's not in the meeting, they get the note, so they know what was going on. But it's sexy to go look at other companies, and it's sexy to go do all these things and look at things. And what Jeremy was good with is he was good with running the business. Why? And he went out of town also, but why I went out of town and I was taking technicians to all these different, you know, companies out there. We're part of one of the groups. We're part of this Nexstar. So we were taking people to all these different companies, like out in like Applewood, Plumline, out in Denver, Precision Boulder up there, who's now one of our partners, which is awesome, with Tom and Andrea. But anyway, I was going out there, and Jeremy went out there also. We went out there a couple times together, but it was mostly me going out there with these new plumbers and electricians and heating air guys, showing them what we're doing with the Good to Great trip out there and back. But Jeremy and I stayed on the same page. So when we got back, Jeremy still was running the business as things stayed happening. But also, if Jeremy went out of town, he still had a line of somebody in his place. At a time, I believe it was Brett was your first one, right, Jeremy?
Yeah.
Brett Knapp. And he was in place to do the trainings if Jeremy was gone with a group. And Brett's also taking people out of town also. So anyway, but I think that's key, that no one – it wasn't like Wyatt and Jeremy and Brett just travel around the nation thinking, we're just going to go to every convention and every this and every that. We have to lead people back to run the business, and a lot of times that's one of us. In fact, Jeremy even takes – Jeremy, I'd love for you to talk about the vendor trips and how, you know, I would stay back on those and run things while you would be painting vision out there, if you don't mind, Chris.
Yeah, but before you answer that, can I ask just one quick question? Because you keep talking about like these daily leadership meetings. What are you covering in these daily leadership meetings?
Great question. So we've been doing these weekly leadership trainings. And so to kind of boil down a little bit of you know, you get a good recipe for a brownie and you dial it in, and you know how many cups of flour and you know all this stuff. And we learn these things and we know how to make the brownies, but then we get lazy and we forget the eggs, or, you know, we're out of milk and maybe I'm not going to bake the brownies today. You know, wow, I'm going to do a German chocolate cake today. You know, I'm sick of brownies. This is what I think happens in our businesses. But we've kind of found the recipe, and it's not this crazy, sexy recipe. It's just, it works. It's daily huddles. It's weekly manager meetings, leadership trainings, one-on-ones, you know, every week. It's weekly trainings for everyone in the company gets a weekly training. And everyone's heard of these, but I promise you, if I go into business, I'll find out that they're not doing it well. They're not doing it consistently, one-on-ones, everyone in the industry, we know what one-on-ones are. We talk about it. Do you track it? Do you know what your one-on-ones were last week? Did you have someone fill out a sheet saying that they did the one-on-one with the goals written in there and you're spot checking it and making sure it happened? I promise you, a company says they do it. And then if you checked it, it'd be like 20% of the one-on-ones happened that week. And so it's not good to great talks about the swan dive. It's like doing a swan dive is not always, there's a lot of cooler dives, but doing it better and perfect. Like, how do you do a perfect huddle every day? Like what I talked about, it talks about notes, talks about accountability, to-dos for people that are followed up the next day. I mean, there's a lot of matrix to that. It's not just come together, talk for 10 minutes, break, and that's a good huddle, you know. But back to the leadership trainings, this was probably about 12 or 13 years ago that we realized that, you know, we're not likely to find top talent in the industry and going to hire them into our business and take top leadership positions. That's not number one what we wanted to do. We wanted our people to have opportunity. And it wasn't likely that we'd find the people we want anyways. And so we realized that if we're going to have top leadership, we're going to have to grow them. And, you know, we love Jim Abrams and he's done some amazing things, but Jim Abrams at one point said, you know, the people that took me here today are not the people that are going to take me where I want to go tomorrow. And Wyatt and I were like, that sucks. We don't like that. Well, like, I don't want to just like get rid of all these people today because they're not going to have the skill sets that we need tomorrow. So we better develop these skill sets. We better get them, you know, and it's a choice. They have to develop them too. And some people have chosen not to develop and they might still be in the business today in a key role, but they might not have taken the next rung role. You know, right. It's got to be the right person. So we develop these leadership trainings. You know, I don't think we have time to get real, real technical with them, but if you focus once a week for an hour with key people in your business on how to become better leaders, that's 90% of it. It really is. Get together, take some content and call it a leadership training. Don't call it a book club. Don't call it a, you know, luncheon. It's like, what are we doing here today? We're here to develop ourselves as leaders. Let's talk about how we can become leaders. And so we do homework every week for the leadership trainings. We go over content every week for the leadership trainings. We have reported homework every week for leadership training. So when you start out, we talk about what was the homework that we did? What did you do? Did it work? Did it fail? Let's digest it. And so it's action stuff that we're doing. But I tell you, you know, it's not 1 week makes a great leader, but you put a leader through that for years and they get a little better and a little better. And they rise with the tide of the business. And all of a sudden you have really capable people.
Yeah, that's cool. And I remember seeing it even when you measure these things, like as you were talking about checking in on the one-on-ones, you have it on the spreadsheet, right? That shows if somebody misses it, like you can kind of go back and reference like who missed a one-on-one in what week, which is a great layer of accountability for everybody. Because like you said, you could probably go in and find it and find, you know, most businesses probably aren't as consistent with that. And it's hard because business gets in the way, right? But you also have a choice to make on, are you going to make the meeting happen or not? I'm certainly guilty of these things myself, but the consistency part is what you said matters. Like, and you guys are still kind of going out and finding, like going out and visiting all these different businesses and finding, we'll call them the shiny objects. That doesn't mean that you come back and implement all of them. But then when you still try new things and when you find it, you stay consistent with using that one because you're noticing it's working within the business. So it's just kind of maybe finding the things that you do learn that fits in your business and sticking to it. But that's part of what you have to have in place to really scale this thing, right? Is you need to have these leaders in the business. And one thing I've learned too, is the bigger the business gets, the more, you know, solid, really great leaders that you need to bring along with you to actually help build the business. You have to have key leadership. And you guys have probably heard this before too, that a lot of times people don't necessarily leave companies. They leave their leader, their leadership. And so that leadership training piece is so critical because, you know, you could be a great manager of people, but be a poor leader. Like sometimes great players aren't great coaches, right? But you can be trained some of the skill to help you become a leader if you want it, if you want to be that. And so you just got to go through it, like doing the homework, doing the content, like great. And you do it over and over and over and over. And you remember Wyatt, what Mike Tyson said, right? Consistency kicks determination's ass, right? He said that. And it's so true. Yep. That consistent piece of it, because you guys have grown this thing to an amazing size, you know, business. And now today, I think like in the state of Utah, I think like the nearest competitor, like three times bigger than even the closest competitor to you guys. You built a great business. But you've also built in this machine behind it that supports that size of business. And that includes this leadership, these ongoing trainings and all the little details of things that you have to do over and over and over and over and over again to make people better. Cause the better the people, the better they are for the business, right? The better they are for themselves. Hey, what's up everybody? I know I got to cut it off. I can't let the episode go too long, but hope you enjoyed this episode with my homies from other marketing companies here in the trades. Tune back in next week to part deuce. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a Rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review. And be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you.